The Pentagon just cranked Israel's counterintelligence threat level all the way up to critical, the highest designation, right there with our worst adversaries. U.S. officials are now using burner phones and staying tight-lipped in hotel rooms when they visit Israel because the Israelis are aggressively spying on top Trump administration people, digging for inside dope on decisions about Iran and Lebanon. This isn't some rogue operation. It's all coordinated, hyper-aggressive espionage from our so-called closest ally. Jonathan Pollard-style damage from the past should have been a warning, but here we are again. Americans are rightly asking how an ally that spies on us at this level gets treated like family.
With me, I don't care if you start throwing nukes immediately, responsibly, but immediately. And a case that I've been pushing is the use of an electromagnetic pulse weapon or weapons against Iran. Why are we waiting to get hit?
That's Jonathan Pollard, the most famous Israeli spy in modern history, who sold out our secrets, got our agents killed, you name it. He sold to the Russians, the Chinese, the Israelis, everybody. And remember, Trump pardoned him back at the end of his first administration. So now Israel's funding will be within the Pentagon in joint weapons development, but they're going to be allowed into everything and be able to claim co-ownership of the U.S. military-industrial complex that Eisenhower told us to beware, the technological elite that control the military-industrial complex. So think about that. Then you've got 38 states that have passed laws or executive orders that if you criticize Israel anyway, or ever boycott Israel, or criticize Zionism, or what happened in Gaza, these are laws that you cannot have any government contracts or government jobs. Totally illegal, unconstitutional tyranny. And that's because Israel admits they're moving their weapons industries here to the United States. And so now if you criticize anything Israel's doing, you're shut down by the state governments, violating our First Amendment. You add that with the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. You got to read that for yourself. Total lifetime fusion integration of everything from academia to DARPA to MIT to secret weapons development to live intelligence, telemetry, weapons guidance, weapons systems. Everything. Remember, the other agencies don't even let each other know what they're doing. The other armed services branches are in competition and let them have their secrets. And that's good. Keep things compartmentalized. This is, Congress doesn't even know 10% of what the Pentagon's up to. This is Israel's coup against America.
The real gut punch is what's happening in Congress at the exact same time. On the heels of the revelation of Section 224 slowly advancing, Senator Tom Cotton slipped Section 622 into the FY27 Intelligence Authorization Act. This thing locks America into permanent, unbreakable intelligence entanglement with Israel. It mandates expanded sharing, ties it to Israel's qualitative military edge, restricts the president or future Congress from scaling it back without jumping through huge legal hoops and notifying bought and paid for committees, and even pushes sharing with Abraham Accords countries. There will be no unwinding this. We are looking at intel fusion as a pillar of policy, handing over leverage that could bite us hard if relations sour. We'll find ourselves either towing the line for Israel or facing serious consequences. Meanwhile, the Pentagon flags Israel as a top spy threat, and lawmakers are wiring them deeper into our system. This isn't partnership. It's a one-way street that smells like foreign influence money run amok. America first means putting our sovereignty and secrets ahead of any foreign lobby. It's not optional, and it's a major insult on this 250th anniversary of our nation. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
A war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. We are the resistance. Join us and share the links now at Alex Jones Live.
Most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax. Not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
Name three countries besides the USA, starting with you.
Texas, Mexico, England, Israel, Europe. I also have to say, I don't know, Texas too.
How many continents are there?
Four.
Six. One.
Name one continent.
Russia.
What two countries border the USA?
South America and North America. Israel and Germany.
How many states in the USA?
What is it, 57 or something?
13.
What is the capital of the USA, Gemma?
Of the USA?
Yeah.
Like British Columbia.
Our country was founded on common law because the Declaration only refers to God four times and the Constitution doesn't refer to God at all. And it only articulates the structure of government.
So first of all, remember that we were a collection of states and colonies, and you need to read the state constitutions before anything else. 9 out of 13 of the original states required you to be a Bible-believing Christian to serve in government at the time of the founding. All 13 out of 13 required a declaration of faith. 9 out of 13 required you to be a Protestant, except Maryland, which was Catholic, which still required a declaration of faith. Almost every single one of the original state constitutions, Pennsylvania included, they had, I profess Lord and Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in the original state constitutions. You remember, we're a collection of states before that. Secondly, 55 out of 56 of the original signers of the declaration were Bible-believing, church-attending Christians. So common law is inherited from Blacks, Stone, who was Christian. A common law is an outgrowth of the scriptures. So let's go to three principles of common law. Presumption of innocence, due process, and jury of your peers. All three are biblical principles wrapped into the ultimate biblical principle that you shall not favor justice if you are rich or poor, which is in Leviticus 19, right before the most famous part of Leviticus 19, which is that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But before that is that in the administration of justice, you shall not favor the rich or the poor, which is the idea of blind justice. We get that in the West, which is incorporated also in the New Testament ideal. Neither slave nor Greek nor Jew. You're all one in Jesus Christ. So we got the idea of human equality. These are all biblical ideas. They're not enlightenment ideas, which is they kind of get conflated at the time. But more importantly than that, they say that God was only mentioned four times in the Declaration of Independence. Well, that's a big deal. Okay. Laws of nature and nature's God. The last paragraph of the Declaration reads as a prayer. It says, we appeal to the supreme judge of the universe. Who's the judge of the universe? Jesus Christ. It says in Revelation that Jesus will judge the earth on his throne. So in the Declaration, they were praying to Christ our Lord as a prayer very specifically. Thirdly, as I said on stage yesterday, Deuteronomy was by far the most quoted book, religious or non-religious, in the time of the founding when they were putting together the Constitution. More than John Locke, more than Montesquieu, more than Blackstone. So the book of Deuteronomy, which talked about laws, customs, traditions, it was Moses' farewell address as he's, you know, about to say goodbye. Say, hey, good luck in Canaan, guys. Here's how you should set up your form of government. But finally, and most importantly, let's look at actually what the founders said. John Adams famously said the Constitution was only written for a moral and religious people. It was wholly inadequate for the people of any other. The body politic of America was so Christian and was so Protestant that our form and structure of government was built for the people that believed in Christ our Lord. One of the reasons we're living through a constitutional crisis is that we no longer have a Christian nation, but we have a Christian form of government, and they're incompatible. So you cannot have liberty if you do not have a Christian population.
This has got corporate sponsors all over it. In other words, when they do the sweep of this, and I saw the video, you see all these corporations that poured money in. We know the corporations and people that sponsored the ballroom that he had got more than $50 billion worth of contracts. This is more of his pay-to-play, of his grift and graft, of him doing these...
$50 billion of contracts?
Billion
from
dollars
his contributors on
from
the
those
boat.
Contributors. A small investment gets me pay-to-play. So this whole thing fits into crass, corrupt, and frankly, cruel. It's crass because of the reasons you said. It's corrupt because we know this is pay-to-play. And the cruelty of it is, while he's raising billions of dollars for his arch, for a project, for the UFC, for the ballroom, all of these things, which all he wants to talk about is in his press conferences, are these types of things. It's cruel because the people of this country, most of the people of this country, are suffering, not being able to afford their health care, not being able to afford groceries, rent, and more. We're in an economic crisis, and he's playing the Great Gatsby with his big spectacles on the White House lawn.
Now we get to our lightning round in our interview for Lieutenant Governor. What is your favorite spot in Fergus Falls?
Spies Park at the Farmer's Market on a Saturday morning in June.
Good answer. Tater Tot Hot Dish or Juicy Lucy?
Ooh, Tater Tot Hot Dish.
Okay, that's good because I have an award-winning recipe.
I've heard.
Yeah, I won an award. Except some people think it's too spicy just because it has pepper jack cheese. Okay, next one. Favorite family activity?
Spending time at Glendalough State Park in Otter Tail County.
Okay, sounds nice. So you owned a pizza restaurant in Fergus Falls?
For 8 years.
So pineapple on pizza?
Absolutely.
Well, we're not going to agree on everything.
Now you
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show here on Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And great to be back with you again this evening. A lot of breaking news. We're going to get to a lot of it over the course of the next 2 hours. We got a huge, huge UFC event later on tonight, UFC 250 at the White House. Sure to be a historic event, an incredible card. I should have, if I would have known, I would have done live commentary and of the fight, actually. We plan on doing that a little bit here in the studio. I'm going to do a live stream kick and twitch of some sports events and mix in some culture and politics, as I am called to do. But sure to be a great event tonight. Headline fight is, I believe, Cyril Gane and Alex Pereira. But I wouldn't be shocked if the headline was Ilia Topuria and Justin Gaethje. Both two incredible fights on that card. First time they've held a mixed martial arts event, UFC event at the White House, and the Democrats are losing their mind, as they do with everything else. You saw Cory Booker there. It's just an absolute goofball, clown, sellout, capitulator, communist capitulator. And he's, oh, this is a disgrace. Oh, this is a, you know, this is embarrassing to the White House. Oh my goodness. You know, just a fruitcake. And it's just like, we all know the deal with these radical leftist Democrats, these Marxists like Cory Booker. If they were going to do a pissing pool at the White House on the South Lawn, a transgender pride parade or celebration with a pissing pool, Cory Booker would want a t-shirt and a ticket. He'd sign up. He'd jump right in the pool. He'd say, piss on me, because that's the type of capitulator he is. You know, and it takes way more courage and skill and training and hard work and, what do you want to say? Mastery of craft to get into that steel octagon. With another individual who's also highly trained and dangerous. I mean, to a lethal degree. For most people on the street, you run up against Alex Pereira, and trust me when I tell you, if you get into a physical confrontation, he's sparing your life if he doesn't kill you within minutes, because he's capable of doing it. It's much more courageous to get into a steel octagon than it is to tuck your penis and pretend you're a woman, right? And here we have this whole month of Pride. So apropos to what's just the culture of our country, we have this entire month of Pride. Here it's our 250th anniversary as a nation, and we're not supposed to celebrate our nation. Now, I get the country is nowhere near where we want it to be or where we think it should be, where we need it to be. But certainly there's a lot to celebrate, because it is still the greatest nation on the planet and in history. And in fact, it's the celebration of our nation, a sort of national honor and national pride, that is exactly what we need to save this great republic. Not more anti-American sentiment. And again, I get there are a lot of things going on. We're going to talk about some of them over the course of the next 2 hours. But overall, I like to see that we're celebrating this nation. I like to see that we're doing it in new and creative ways. I think the president is right to, you know, get so close to the UFC. People got to understand, mixed martial arts is maybe the fastest growing sport in the entire world. And the UFC is the flagship company, or the flagship institution, stewarding the rise and growth of mixed martial arts as a sport worldwide. And it's an American business. So, I mean, for that alone is something to celebrate. And I do tend to think that the more young men aspire to become warriors, even gladiators, even as ill-placed or misplaced as such a thing may be with all the other problems and things that we have going on in our society, the more young men aspire to be warriors and gladiators and have the discipline and sacred honor and training and the restraint that it takes to be a professional mixed martial artist, a master of the craft, of skill, the more we have young men aiming toward that versus cutting their own penis off, I'd say America and the rest of the nations of the world and all of their posterity are moving in the right direction. And let's properly frame things. We can teach our young men that if they feel a little feminine this calendar year, They can take hormone blockers on the path to eventually cutting their penis off, where not go crazy when you cut your own penis off. Or you can go to the gym every single day and train over and over and over and over, trying to master just the smallest detail and nuance of human movement and physical lethality. The ability to protect yourself, your loved ones, and in special occasions like the UFC event here tonight, you get to put it on display against somebody else who's a master and highly trained. I mean, we got to get our priorities in order in this society, guys. It's just more evidence that these liberals are absolutely out of touch with reality, and they don't have a good grasp, a firm grasp of what's actually important and what's good and healthy for a country. They say, oh, well, we're shedding blood and there's bloodshed. Look, you know, what world are we living in? We're still running this gamut that mixed martial artists or UFC guys are these crazy, bloodthirsty, you know, thugs. Come on. These people are highly trained martial artists across a variety of disciplines, and the UFC has elevated mixed martial arts to a place worldwide where every fighter that steps into that octagon has to be at least decently versed in three or four disciplines of martial arts. And if you're going to go and dismiss or out of hand, sort of flippantly just disregard the various martial arts that come from all parts of the world, mind you. I mean, for these leftists who say they're so worldly, so cosmopolitan, they certainly do miss the underlying element of the UFC and mixed martial arts, that it's brought together a world of martial arts. Muay Thai, wrestling, boxing, jiu-jitsu, you know, karate. I mean, there's so many different elements of mixed martial arts and put on display in the UFC. It's the rightful place and order. It's the proper order of respecting, learning, sharing cultures from around the world without letting 20 million foreign invaders into your country. Everybody understand where I'm going here? It's great to see Ilia Teporia come from, I think he's from Italy, if I'm not mistaken, and he brings his brand of boxing or grappling or jiu-jitsu or wrestling or whatever it is, and he blends it all together. And it's great to see what the Italian culture, I think he's Italian, excuse me if I'm mistaken, but I think he's Italian, and you know, what the Italian culture kind of blends together in a high level championship fighter versus Justin Gaethje, who trains out of Denver. I know him and his team really well, and he's got some great people that have trained him also. Whether it was, I think Henry Hoof was his kickboxing coach at one point. I think Jason, his name is Perillo. I think it's Jason Perillo. He's a boxing and striking coach, and he's got some other good people on his team. I'm probably missing them, but anyway. It's great to see these cultures of all over the world kind of clash. And you'll, it's like they say about American boxing. American boxing is so interesting because you see these cultural and even racial prototypes, right? You got your Mexican fighters and the style that the Mexican fight, you got the Russian fighters, you got, some of these Eastern European and British even fighters. And then you got your black kid from the neighborhood. You know, whether they grew up in Detroit or they're from Philly or maybe New York or whatever the case now, and, you know, Bud Crawford, the pound for pound, conventional pound for pound champion, right now, Terrence Crawford comes from Omaha, Nebraska. You get to see culture matters. Race matters. How you were brought up in the environment and the traditions of the environment, like a great tradition such as the Philly Shell out of Philadelphia. A defensive discipline made famous by Joe Frazier, mastered by the undefeated Floyd Mayweather. These things are the proper place for the world to come and watch a fighter represent his culture, his history, his tradition, his genetics, his race. And put that on display. And, you know, it's the proper way to put those things up against one another in a competitive aspect and still be able to shake hands at the end of the fight and say, you know what? Respect to you for getting in here. That's something the Democrats deeply, deeply misunderstand. And even that, that alone, that sort of fundamental aspect of sacred honor is why they've given our country away, hand over fist. Now, it's also the president's birthday, and I want to wish him a happy birthday. Happy birthday to President Donald Trump. It's his 80th birthday, and guys, the man is 80. I mean, come on, he's 80. I mean, I know everybody says 80 is the new, what, 50, 60? But come on, he's 80. All right, I'm 35. He's 80. The man is an American hero. He deserves our respect. I don't know what to say about this Iran deal that they're saying is done. Do I think it's done? No, I don't think it's done. It's safe to assume that it's not done. I hope it's done. We all hope it's done. That'd be great. Be great. I don't know. I mean, it just, you know, how could you look at the last 60 days and think anything else? I mean, just, I hope it's done. It'd be a great birthday present, a great way to walk into, you know, our 250th anniversary at the beginning of July here, the end of June, beginning of July, and celebrate this country with hopefully trying to get back on track. We got a couple months here before the midterms. I mean, it's already starting all across the country. The primaries have come and gone. My primary is August 11th. If you're in Minnesota and you're a part of this InfoWars Alex Jones Network audience, I meet you guys all the time out on the trail. If I haven't had a chance to yet, I would love to. We'll be doing some, hopefully, me and the great Mike Lindell will be doing some events here across the state of Minnesota to fight against the uniparty machine. I don't know if they showed the picture or not. I hope they got the picture there on standby. We'll show the picture. Michelle Tafoya, my new nemesis, sending out campaign mail, and she literally sticks a dollar, a $1 bill in an envelope. It says Michelle Tafoya, former NFL anchor for ESPN, CBS, ABC, NBC. It literally says, I used to work for the mainstream, fake mainstream media, fake news mainstream media. Here's a dollar. Shut up and vote for me anyway. I mean, it's just absolutely brutal. So me and Mike Lindell have to combat that here in Minnesota, and I'm happy to do it. I mean, I'm not discouraged. Yeah, there's the picture right there. I mean, if you're stupid enough to believe this kind of, we're going to come back to this a couple of times over the course of the 2 hours. If you're stupid enough to get a piece of mail with a $1 bill from a U.S. Senate candidate, and I mean, you deserve the D.C. sewer uniparty that we live under now. And you'll most likely get it because you're too dumb to recognize when people are just blatantly trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I mean, come on. To me, this stuff should be discrediting. I know the American people are still kind of soft and they give people the benefit of the doubt, you know. Not me. I don't give people the benefit of the doubt. But we're here Sunday night. The Alex Jones Show, the Alex Jones Network. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I want to talk a little bit more about mixed martial arts on the other side of the break here. We've got a great historic UFC event happening tonight at the White House and much more. We'll be right back.
Plug for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I'd raise that point. I'd say, oh, no, good, I didn't plug. It's bad I didn't plug. But I didn't want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff, but I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away. So you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. Our T3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Well, because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this, but for others that don't. Iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. now. In the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think it's the one, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grip, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but it's still kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them until they were like five or six. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. This isn't, I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff to kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And before the break, we were talking about this historic UFC event tonight, and I'm a professional mixed martial artist. I only had been training for about 5 or 6 years now, and really changed my life a whole lot, to be honest with you. One of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. And I am anxiously awaiting the chance to get back to the octagon and compete professionally, whether it be mixed martial arts or boxing, may even do some pro jiu-jitsu tournaments once you cross over into pro. And some people say I made a mistake. You know, my first professional fight I took with no amateur experience. You know, a lot of guys, they'll come into MMA, they'll work their way up, they'll train, they'll do some amateur fights first, and then they'll go on to their first pro debut. Which would have been very difficult for me because I'm already a pro athlete, my size. It would have been very hard to get me any amateur fights. So my first fight, I lost by a decision. Three rounds we went, lost by a decision. Was out-competed in the grappling, which you would expect for guys who are new, but I definitely won the striking and the stand-up. And even as far as the grappling goes, Mike Chiesa, who's a veteran of the UFC himself, called my fight, my LFA fight on the UFC Fight Pass, and he was very complimentary about my ability to get up. A lot of heavyweights, they have trouble. Once you get taken down as a heavyweight, it's very difficult to get back up. One, because you got more mass to move, and just exerts more energy to get back up. But I must have stood up 3-4 times after being taken down. Anyway, anxiously await the chance to get back to the octagon and show myself, but the rest of the world, my improvement since my first fight, which was, I still did some good things, but I'm a whole different fighter day. Anyway, I just have a deep, deep respect, passion and respect for mixed martial arts. And to see all these liberals cry about this event as though it's anything other than historic is absolutely crazy to me. We want young men to be able to aspire to become martial artists and commit their life to the martial way, which is just as much about restraint and discipline as it is violence. And yeah, I mean, some of the smartest and wisest people that I know that I respect come from the martial arts world. My coach, Greg Nelson, who is one of the best mixed martial arts coaches in the entire world, in my opinion, he certainly has the resume to back it up. Trained Brock Lesnar, trained Sean Sherk, trained Rose Namajunas, trained Troy Jones. So many, Mike the Marine Richmond, who, if you guys are familiar watching the bare knuckle stuff, Mike is or was the cruiserweight champion. I'm not sure if he still is right now. But, Mike Richmond, who had a great mixed martial arts career himself, served this country. You know, these people are very, very good people. Very, very good people. And I love that the president of the United States has the intuition, the cultural intuition, to highlight an American business that is really changing the landscape of sports worldwide. Like I said, mixed martial arts is the fastest growing sport in the entire world, and the UFC is the flagship institution of that growth and steward of that growth. And the UFC has done incredible things to expand its own brand, but the sport itself, and by way of all of the subsidiarities, the subsequent martial arts and cultures that come along with it. Like, sure, there are good Muay Thai coaches all around the world. But Muay Thai comes from a specific place, and there's a culture, and you even hear and see it. If you've ever been to a gym and you've trained Muay Thai, that Thai culture, that toughness, but even sort of a playfulness, but a supreme focus on details and just pure toughness. You got to be tough as nails you don't want to end up in a dark alley with one of those young Thai men who's a Thai fighter over there in Bangkok one night, because he will dismantle you, and it's going to happen quick, and it's going to feel very unpleasant if you feel anything at all. But there's just a rich culture there out of Thailand, and they've created, they've created one of the most efficient striking systems in known human history. All right. If you want to go to Graham Hancock land and say that we have some lost civilization, I don't know. Maybe before the Dryas impact or whatever the case may be, there were people who had even better striking systems. That wouldn't surprise me. But so far as we know of modern human history, the history that we can trace, the Muay Thai guys are about as dangerous as you could possibly find and efficient as you could possibly find when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, the art of eight limbs, and those guys are tough as nails. And there's a playfulness to it that you have to train it and experience to understand. There's a toughness, and there's a time for the tough part, and then there's a playfulness where, you take care of your training partners, and you experiment and you learn. So there's just a lot to be learned and taken for all people. I wish we were like Israel in that way, where not everybody had to be a part of the military, but that in our schools, for example, and I think the Chinese do some of this, at least they're promoting themselves this way, we teach our young people the martial way. I think it does great to temper people's personalities and some of their irrational behavior. I just think it's a very healthy thing for people to learn, especially in our country, especially now. And I was saying before the break, if we were going to put them side by side and say, what do we want young men to aspire to? A gender fluidity academic philosophy where they end up cutting off their own penis in the name of their feminine traits, or to be warriors, to be trained in the martial way, to be disciplined, tough, gritty, but also masterful and skillful and restraint in their use of violence? Which one is healthier for a nation? You know, people may say, oh, Royce, you're so nationalistic. Everything isn't about the nation. And, you know, people aren't, the citizens aren't the nation's property. You know, okay. Well, let's just take it from a physical fitness standpoint. People are fat as hell out there. I'm just being real. It's really embarrassing. If you look at the Congress and the Senate, like imagine if you had, just 100 ironclad, just rock solid, in fit, physically fit, disciplined, confident killers. Even if you want to throw the women in there, you know, there are some great women fighters. And they even try and disgrace the martial arts and mixed martial arts by throwing the transgenders in there with the women, which is absolutely reprehensible. But, that just should be a non-starter. And the fact that it's not, again, tells you who these people really are. If there was a transgender mixed martial arts event for Pride Month, the reason they're probably upset is because Dana White won't let transgenders compete with the women. If we really dug through all the, it's President Trump, it's the White House, anything he does is bad. But if we got specifically to MMA and what their problem is with MMA, it's that Dana White won't let transgender men, biological men, compete in the women's division. And they regard him as a bigot because of it. And they can window dress it all they want. They can pretend like that's not a real thing, but it certainly is. It is all across, youth sports, high school sports, collegiate sports, and now even professional sports. And it's completely one-sided, right? Because if I was to try and play in the WNBA, which I still could to this day, and I'd average 50 easily, if not more, 50 a game playing against women, they'd cry bloody murder. They say, oh, you can't have those toxically masculine, ultra MAGA, super white supremacist, nationalist men transitioning to women to play with these women. You have to protect women's spaces. It's absolutely crazy. That being said, there are some very good, very good women fighters. I know. I mean, I've trained with Rose Namajunas, in person, and I've seen her work. I've seen her train. Brilliant movement she has, Rose, and tough as nails. And there's this great, one of the most epic things I think there are all these culturally epic moments. And you guys know I'm a Catholic, right? And, ardent Christian, Christo nationalist, they would say. And there are just these culturally important moments in my mind and in my 35-year-old mind. And one of the most chilling moments, and I say chilling in a good way, let's even call it motivational. One of the most motivational moments, maybe we'll play it here on the other side of the break and we'll get it geared up in the break. But Rose Namajunas is Rose's fight. I don't even know how to say her name, but it's She's got one of those Eastern European names. And she's all in Rose's face in the weigh-ins and the face-off. She's all in Rose's face and she's, saying all of these things that are kind of referencing, she's got this boogie woman type of persona going, and she's, kind of referencing some dark forces. And Rose stands there, I mean, as stoic as you can possibly be. And she just starts to recite the Lord's Prayer. Oh. I mean, if you're an American or you're a Christian, Rose came up in Milwaukee and she's a Midwesterner. So, I got love for her in that respect too. But if you're a Christian anywhere in this world and you see that Europe is on the brink of falling because for some strange reason, the broad masses of Europe have been put to sleep, and there are some patriots standing up there in Europe who are saying, hey, wait a minute. Hang on a second. This immigrant situation is out of control, and it is. And we need mass deportations, not only there in Europe, but here in America as well. Not because we're racist. No, because the displacement and the mechanism of mass migration has been used as a weapon to attack certain groups of people. I would say mostly Western culture, Christianity to start, And there's an asymmetrical and sort of silent, not so silent anymore, war happening using unfettered, unlimited, illegal immigration in America and Europe. It's mass migration because I think they've all but legalized the migration that they face. But anyway, there are patriots standing up. My point being, if you're an American or a Christian, that moment where Rose is face to face with somebody who's trying to intimidate her, especially when all these athletes sort of shy away from, their tendency is to shy away from religion and politics and culture and morals or ethics, what's right and what's wrong, because they don't really know how it'll be taken, how it'll affect their commercial viability, their endorsements and whatnot. Hell, even they're standing on their own team, as we saw this year in the NBA. Iconic moment where Rose starts to recite the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know. We're gonna queue it up. They're in the studio. Get it queued up. It's Rose Namajunas. Namajunas recites the Lord's Prayer. I forget who she can. Jacek. I don't even know how to say her name. I think she's Eastern European. I'm not quite sure what her nationality is or ethnicity is. But anyway, it's one of Rose's, you know, historic fights. I think she won the woman's title in that bout. If not, it was on her way to it. But, you know, UFC, like I said, even that, even moments like that. And I'm a big proponent that sports is distractionary. Like last night, the New York Knicks won the NBA Finals, the NBA Championship, and in an amazing game. As woke as the NBA has gotten, the players and the coaches and the trainers and all the way down to the youth level, my level, where I'm coaching 15U and train basketball, young basketball players all the time. The game is evolving, and the commercial aspect of the game has certainly played a huge role in evolving the game. Why? Because people have dreams to play at the highest level, but all the trappings that come along with it, money, fame, right? And, you know, there's a place for that. I'm not saying, and we'd be silly to say that the commercial, the business of the UFC isn't partly responsible for the evolution and growth of mixed martial arts. Same can be said with basketball. If they hadn't figured out a way to monetize the cultural boom that was Michael Jordan into the NBA that we see today, you wouldn't have a 7'4" Frenchman named Wembanyama that, you know, does things that seem supernatural. At least for another professional basketball player, I tell you, I watched that game, and even watching last night, they didn't win, but he's going to be a very good player, and some of the stuff he does is absolutely supernatural, even by professional basketball standards or athletes, by our measure. It's like, whoa, that is crazy. But, you know, if the NBA hadn't become the NBA and it wasn't international, and you could say there's a subtle hint of globalism or globalization, a globalist mentality in that, you know, NBA China and all these other international, endeavors and initiatives that institutions, pro sports institutions like the NBA are a part of. If it didn't have that, you know, there'd be a 7'4" Wimby that was born into some French guy. And I don't know, he'd be like fencing or something. I don't know. What's a popular French sport? I don't even know. You never trust the French. I have a tough, even with Wimby, I love him. I love watching him play, but I don't trust the French at all. It's just a personal thing. I don't know. Just call it my sixth sense. The French, purveyors of democracy. That's like, come on, give me a break. Heresy, you mean? It's a joke. Wimby's a great player, but you know, it used to be that there were people like this, been people like this forever. You just didn't see them because there was no real institutional mechanism to usher them in and get them to where they need to be, get them seen by who they need to be seen by. So, you know, things, what I'm saying is industry, commercialization, there's a place for it. Just has to be rightly ordered. And for a long time, it hasn't been rightly ordered. Professional sports has replaced faith in our culture. Professional sports and sports in America has replaced faith and religion. And then the sports has become, you know, more or less dominated by money versus the sacred honor of the skill or the arena. or the human dignity in the human being. And see, this is the important underlying cultural dichotomy is we currently find ourselves in a place where on one night, the entire world is fixated on this, you know, 2 hour basketball game between the New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs, where none of those players would have been able to get to that point, that place, be it the NBA, it's the highest level, or the ability to perform and do the things they can do on that stage, on that night, if the sports world was dominated by this communist, egalitarian equity of outcome philosophy. See, and the truth, I talk about it all the time, and I guess as an athlete, as a lifelong athlete, the crisis of our culture is apparent to me because I can look back on my own life and the mentality that it takes to, one, become a high-level athlete. Even if you're an All-American in high school, I was an All-American in high school. I was All-American in college. I was, you know, drafted to the NBA, had some political differences with the NBA, as I still do now. But I played, you know, 2 professional seasons in Canada, was recruited to play internationally all across the world. I hesitated to go because, you know, I just don't want to go play in China. Sorry. I love basketball, but I don't love it enough to go play or go live in tyrannical communist CCP China. Or Tel Aviv, for that matter. They offered me to come play in Tel Aviv and for Maccabi Haifa on a number of occasions for around $50,000 to $60,000 a month, all expenses paid, tax free, which is a great gig, a great living. They tell me Tel Aviv is like Miami, in terms of its weather and the nightlife for a young man who's into that sort of thing. Tel Aviv is like, you know, the Miami of the Middle East. And I never went because something doesn't seem right, you know, and it's also about losing, you know, as great as the world is, as beautiful as some of these places are, and they're great people and cultures, and they should be proud of their culture and their part of the world, and they should defend it. They should defend the sovereignty of their nations and of their culture and their traditions. And intuitively, there's just something that we've lost about being American. So what did I do? I went to play in Canada. We should annex Canada. Okay, you heard it here for the 15th time. We should annex Canada because they've become way too communist and they're on our border. But it was just about as American as you could possibly imagine. That's right. They got an A there, here and there. But Canada is about as American as you could imagine. And I won two championships in the Canadian League, and I was MVP 1 year, scoring leader the next. Anyway, you couldn't get to a place like that even if you live by this insane, illogical equity of outcome that the liberals are trying to push all through American culture and the culture worldwide. The two are diametrically opposed. The universal basic income, universal health care, own nothing, be happy, drugs and video games as a remedy to the fourth industrial revolution, robotics, AI, and whatnot, the displacement of the human being in our civilization, that mentality versus the fanaticism that has made the NBA, the UFC, American professional sports down there in Texas. I was just in Texas. You got the World Cup and Team USA won their first game against Paraguay in the World Cup. Sports wouldn't be as big as sports has gotten commercially if any of these people who participated in it, let's say the athletes first and foremost, if any of the athletes believed in this insane woke egalitarian ideology. The two cultures are diametrically opposed. I mean, imagine telling Michael Jordan that the NBA should be equal. What? It's not going to be equal. There's nothing equal about Michael Jordan. And it does say something about genetics because, you know, when you're born 7'4" and your reach is, I don't know what Wimby's reach is, 9 feet, 10 feet or something stupid. There's nothing equal about that. And that's okay. But Jalen Brunson showed us last night, and the thing I love the most about the New York Knicks winning is that they, you know, you could, okay, if you're really a basketball person, you could say the San Antonio Spurs gave three games away because they were up 72% of the time. And in sports, there's this thing called time and possession. Usually the team that has the ball the most, usually the team that spends the most time ahead in a game or over the course of a number of games is the team that comes out victorious. It's the rule of possession. And it's true in soccer. It's true in football. It's true in basketball. It's true in hockey. The team that can kind of control and manage the possession usually is victorious. San Antonio spent 72% of this series ahead. So reasonably, they should have won. Why didn't they? They're young. They're immature. So they didn't understand when they got a lead exactly how to keep a lead. And, you know, part of that's coaching. Part of that's just the growing pains of being young players. But what you got to love is that the New York Knicks is a team that's more or less a team full of guys who are underrated, undervalued, underpromoted. You take Karl-Anthony Towns, who was like, you know, considered the second or third option here in Minnesota. Then you get to a guy like Jalen Brunson, who, and I love this about the series. You had one of the littlest guys in the league, heart check one of the biggest players in NBA history, and he heart checked him. He did. He showed him. He said, I got the skill, the toughness, the grit, the know-how, the savvy to control this game, to navigate this game, to apply my skill in a way that's going to make my team victorious. And you just got to love that about sports. But there's nothing, you know, sort of woke LGBTQ, everybody's equal about what Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks did last night. We're talking about that and much more here in the Belly of the Beast. I'm Royce White. This is the Alex Jones Network live on Sunday night. Stay tuned.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs.
Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And today we've just been talking a little bit about sports. And I know people like, everything that's going on in the world, why sports? Well, you know, hey, you tell me why sports. People love it. people are addicted to it. They can't get enough. I mean, it's the, I didn't make the rules. I'm just here to play the game, right? The rules are that there are certain things we love in American culture. There are certain things that we love worldwide. Sports is one of them. Bread and circuses. I get it. I get it. And the Romans definitely lost. The Roman Empire fell with people at the Colosseum shooting T-shirt guns. I get it, right? They didn't have T-shirt guns, but, you know, little mini T-shirt catapults or whatever they were doing. They were distracted is the point. And you could definitely make a corollary to today. No doubt. I just made it last week. I said the Romans, a huge part of why the Roman Empire fell is because they were too busy with affluent prosperity-driven activities like the Colosseum. But there were many others as well. Let's not throw it all on the gladiators, okay? There was a loss of sacred honor in the Roman Senate, in the Roman culture. There was a loss of importance and priority of what it meant to be Roman, and that citizenship, Roman citizenship, actually meant something. And if you leave a border open to unlimited sort of multiculturalism and displacement, you can lose your culture, no matter how great your society is. And the Roman society was a great society, which is why some of it still stands strong today. But every society faces a stress test, and the Romans failed theirs. The Romans failed theirs. Should they spend a few less days at the Colosseum? Sure. But you could also say they should have spent a few less days, you know, with some of these military campaigns out there defending the outposts in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. You could make that argument as well. In fact, there's a strong argument to be made. In fact, there's a direct corollary to be made today. Not only are we improperly distracted by bread and circuses, sports being one of them, but, you know, now they're smacking each other, and grown men smacking each other. That is not a martial art, by the way. That is not a legitimate sport. And I know Dana White is an investor in the slap fest and all of that stuff, and people watch it, but that, to me, that's a national embarrassment. Grown men slapping each other is not a martial art. It's not a sport. It's not a skill. It's not something people should be watching, especially other adults. I get if kids want to watch people smack each other, it's probably funny. To me, it just looks ridiculous. Anyway, people are distracted by sports. Just as dangerous as us being distracted by spending too much time defending the empire while our own nation falls. Dangerous. Dangerous to do at the same time. It's almost like you got to pick one. All right. Are we going to be a global dollar empire, or are we going to be a nation that loves our, you know, our Friday night lights? We got to pick one. We can't do both, just like the Romans couldn't do both. And you see there in Europe, when what is left of the Westphalian culture or the Roman civilization, the Roman Republic, you see it falling there in Europe now. And it would appear the only way they're gonna, you know, mosey on through is by uprising, mass uprising, which you're seeing there across Europe. And it's gonna get ugly. And we all know that. We hope otherwise. Maybe they have some fair elections and secure elections, and they elect some real leaders that restore the national sovereignty like they did there in Poland. But I doubt it. My money's not on that outcome. Unless an American leader can be the rally point for all of Western society, can be an example, and we get our own border together. How do we get our own border together? We mass deport 25 million foreign invaders as an appetizer. Then, when everybody's back to their home country, we can enjoy the beauty and the art of professional sports and mixed martial arts as a global community, remotely, from your television. Watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, from the Belly of the Beast. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies and people no significance and classism and statism and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Jones Show live here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday night. Historic UFC event. I believe it's already underway. Can't wait until we get out of here. I can go catch the last two fights, the headline fights of this card, which are sure to be very good fights in their own right. You got Cyril Gane, another Frenchman, I believe. Cyril Gane, we're talking about the Frenchman Wembanyama and the defeat of the San Antonio Spurs by the New York Knicks. Congratulations to them. Like I was saying before the break, I loved that the one of the smallest guys in the league, one of the smallest superstars in NBA history, heart-checked one of the biggest players in NBA history last night and over the course of that series. Just a testament to, you know, even when things are unequally distributed, such as size, you know, so physical gifts, height, arm length, even when those things are unequally distributed, an individual can still muster up the discipline, the commitment, the courage, the mastery to overcome that unequal distribution of God-given gifts. And that's just an amazing thing in and of itself. It's like, why should a Jalen Brunson, who's all of 6 feet tall, be able to lead his team to a victory over a 7'4" supernatural? I mean, it almost looks, you know, extraterrestrial. That's why they call Wimby the alien. He does look like an alien, and he plays like one too. And it's just a testament of American grit and culture, but even just more from an archetypical standpoint, that David versus Goliath story. And it's completely antithetical to the liberal mentality, the far left and socialist or communist egalitarian mentality that all things need to be made equal. No, sometimes you don't have glory when things are equal. Sometimes glory only comes from the unequal distribution of time or talent or circumstance or wealth or whatever the case may be. Sometimes that's what makes life worth living. It's like, what would sunshine be without the rain, right? Well, Jalen Brunson rained on Wimby's parade last night. Anyway, Wimby the Frenchman, the French alien. And if I had to guess, there was one nation of folks who were most likely extraterrestrials, it'd be the French, maybe the British. I don't know. It's a joke. Anyway, Cyril Gane, I believe. Due to headline tonight against Alex Pereira, you got a clash of two very high-level strikers. One, what do they call it? Savate? I think it's Savate. If I'm not mistaken, Cyril Gane is a Savate-based fighter. Savate is a form of French kickboxing, karate, form of French striking. Very interesting striking system too, Savate, if you know anything about it. And that's why Cyril Gane kind of has that perpetual motion. He's got that bounce. He's on his toes. He strikes and he moves. He doesn't guard like you would typically see a fighter guard. He kind of ducks out of the way and sort of runs away, because when you're in that Savate stance and you strike from those areas, you typically put yourself in dangerous positions. And then you got Alex Pereira, who has that typical kickboxing Muay Thai style. You know, he's a Thai fighter from Brazil, and Brazil has done great to create their own sort of spin on both jiu-jitsu, which was initially a Japanese martial art that the Gracies, one of them being Hoist, You know, the way you say it in English is Royce, like myself, Royce Gracie, but Hoyce, and the Gracie family really took jiu-jitsu to the next level, which is why, you know, for the most part, jiu-jitsu is recognized internationally as Brazilian jiu-jitsu or BJJ. And the Brazilians have great Thai fighters, great strikers. Anderson Silva was one of them, and obviously great Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners. So you got an epic clash tonight in that fight, and then you got Topuria, who has taken the lightweight division by storm. I think he's the double champ in the lightweight and featherweight division. And man, I mean, you talk about a guy who can move, who can hit, who can grapple. You know, he just does a little bit of everything, but he's tough as nails. He's got the look, right? He's, you know, he's got that Italian sort of pretty boy, you know, just sculpted look. And, he's a killer. He's a straight up killer. And he's going against a genuine American badass in Justin Gaethje, who's tough as nails. You know, he's got that wrestling background, but he's had great striking coaches, taken some severe knockouts in his career, but he loves it. You know, he's a true example of American grit, where it's like, all right, I'll take a hit, I'll get knocked out, I'll keep on coming. And he's weathered some lows in his career and some highs. He's been as high as you can get in some championship fights. I think he was even champ at one point in his division, and he's been brutally knocked out. You know, there's that epic moment between him and Max Holloway, where Max Holloway, Polynesian, I think Max is Polynesian. Max, you know, is another tough SOB himself. He tells Justin Gaethje, meet me right here in the center of the ring. And both of them could have just said, you know what, this fight's over, we're not going to risk it. But they're so tough, they said, all right, we're going to lock horns here in the middle of the octagon. And in a flurry of punches, Max Holloway turns Justin Gaethje's lights off. It's like, wow, another one of those epic mixed martial arts UFC moments in history that just sends chills down your spine if you're a fight fan. So you got a real epic clash of some great fighters tonight to commemorate our 250th anniversary there at the White House. And again, the liberals, you know, the Cory Bookers. So I kind of wish that the United States Senate had guys who were young enough and it was a part of our culture. Not that you had to fight to kill each other, but if we had some genuine prize fights, I guess we wouldn't call them prize fights because I'm not suggesting people be paid for the outcome. Although it'd be kind of badass, like if your federal funding allocation was dependent on if your senator was the winner. If you had to fight for the funding, the federal funding for your respective play. Oh, you see people get in shape real quick, right? I mean, we'd be electing a whole different crop of folks if that's how we did things. We don't. And, there's a lot to be said for that. But, you know, even that, they're going to clip that and go, Royce wants the United States Senate to turn into a blood sport. It's like, yeah, well, guys, there's a reason why our country's so, unmoored from reality. Both in policy, but more so in culture. There's a reason why, because look at Cory Booker. I mean, look at him. Does Cory Booker strike you all as a serious man? He don't even strike me as a man. I don't even regard him as a man. He's a human being, but he's not a man. You know what I'm saying? And I just think there's something to be said for that across the entire Congress. And it's on the Republican side, too. It's not just Democrats. Let's be clear, right? It's not just Democrats. It's more, all of them. I mean, they're in a handful of tough, sort of gritty alpha men in the entire U.S. Senate. Even the boys in the U.S. Senate for sure, but even in the House, right? And there's a few scattered through there, a few of your boys who served in the military, but then you get the Dan Crenshaws who are like, you know, served in the Navy, but they still end up being milquetoast by the time it's all said and done. I don't know how that happens. It happens. You know, Eli Crane, I like. Eli Crane is a hitter. You know, I like Eli Crane, but few and far between is my point. Can you imagine if we had a Senate full of dudes who at least were tough enough to, and young enough to still lock horns, even if it was just, you know, kind of, playfully. You know, even if every once in a while, instead of the 250th UFC event, what if the prelims was like, we're going to bring Cory Booker and Royce White out? You know, we're in two different weight classes, so that wouldn't be fair. But you get my point. You know, as a part of the prelims in the UFC 250 at the White House, We're bringing a few U.S. senators out. They're going to go three rounds for 3 minutes. It's not that long, guys. I mean, you know, you could survive it. You should be able to survive it. If you can't survive a 9-minute fight, you shouldn't be in the U.S. Senate, I think. But I know I'm crazy. Is that crazy? Maybe it's crazy, but I don't think it's that crazy. It's kind of crazy, but it's not that crazy. It's indicative. It's like if RFK Jr., if you give RFK Jr. six months of training, if I trained RFK Jr. for 6 months, he'd be able to survive and probably do some damage in a 3-minute, 3-round mixed martial arts fight. He's on a little old side himself, but you get my point. Look how fit he is. I mean, the guy's jacked, right? So Joe Rogan. If you put Joe Rogan in there, I guarantee you, Joe Rogan's going to be able to do some damage. And there's a correlation. Not that I agree with everything Joe Rogan has said. I thought it was absolutely reprehensible that he brought James Tellerico, James, the fruitcake evangelist Tellerico. Okay, Joe, what are we, chopped liver over here on the Alex Jones Network, Joe? Huh? You don't want to sit down with the hatchet man? You don't want to sit down with the real hitters? Come on, man. Down there with the Satanist who's using the gospel. Yeah, and I just think to myself, what's even happened to America? How does this guy end up on this platform? And I'm not, you know, I can't tell him what to do with this platform or not. It's his platform, but I have every right to question it. And I just think to myself, like, Cake Satan is doing on the biggest platform in the world, as if he's even legitimate, even remotely legitimate. He's not even a remotely legitimate voice, is my point. Joe Rogan could do some damage in a UFC fight. But really, what you would want to see is like James Fishback and James Tellerico. Is this his name, right? James Fishback. Is it Fishback's first name, James? Anyway, you guys know this. I may be mistaken on the name. Fishback, I don't have any notes here. You know what I mean? Fishback is, you know, Fishback versus Tellerico. Prelims. 3 5-minute rounds. I'm sorry, I said 3-minute rounds. That's boxing. 3 5-minute rounds. Come on, man. That's America. I don't know. I'm crazy. They're going to clip this and say this guy, Royce White, is unelectable. He's unelectable. He's unelectable. He took too many knocks in the head in training. No. No, I just think the U.S. Senate and the Congress are soft as hell. Untenably soft. And when you get soft as a culture, it starts to warp your sense of reality. And that's what we have. That's why a Cory Booker, who is a sitting United States senator, feels it appropriate to bring criticism to the president of the United States for having one of the flagship companies of a worldwide sport host at the White House when he would gladly bring a transgender strip show or story hour to the South Lawn in a heartbeat. His sense of reality is warped because he's soft. Because man was supposed to have to sweat by the toil of our brow. We were supposed to have to kill what we eat. Or at least go get it from the wild. And when you take that away from a culture, man has to go out of his way to supplement that natural thing that we need. And that's what sports is. That's the rightful and proper place for sports. Is it does simulate the need for war. It takes competitive. It takes the competitive, the strategic, and the physical sacrifice. And it supplements the need for those things in war. We've lost that. We've lost that. And we try to, and so what we've replaced that with is fanaticism. And that's why you get these people out there who comment on professional sports. They don't know anything about it. They can't even, they alone be able to go on the treadmill for 90 minutes straight like the TIE fighters do. The TIE fighters, these dudes jog for 10 miles straight. They're not even a second thought. They just jog. It's like the TIE guys, they just jog and jog and jog. They could jog forever. Their legs are strong. You know, you see some of these videos of this kid. I saw it the other day, this little Asian kid. I don't think he was in Thailand, but little Asian kid. And he's literally using this bamboo tree as a punching bag. And he's busting this bamboo tree up until it actually cracks and falls over. And there's something to be said for that culturally. And what do we have in America? In America, we have cigarettes and porn, food that kills you. You know, I don't know, Stephen Colbert, John Oliver, Conan O'Brien, Rachel Maddow, Joy Reid. It's like, excuse me, we're at a crossroads. We're at a fork in the road here, folks. What do we want America to be? Look at that beautiful image. Look at that image of that octagon outside the White House. That's a beautiful and historic image. You can have all the criticism of the president. You can all the criticism. Hey, this administration is not doing what it needs to do. And people are crying about affordability. Don't get me wrong. Affordability is it matters. But again, like I said before, when you reduce the human existence down to price, it's a grave spiritual error, and you give an advantage to the Chinese and cultures that don't value the same things we value. We are a nation of ideas, of core values that are supernatural, supernatural, eternal core values, powers and principalities, so we cannot base our society off of price. I know affordability is all, we are going to be in a tumult. Okay. We are going to be going through a tumble of affordability and economic ebbs and flows for a long time to come, because you let the Federal Reserve crush the value of your dollar and your citizenship, and the games that have been played with corporations is ungodly, to say the very least. People are going to have problems. The economy is nothing you could do to the economy is going to have the immediate impact that you all want, because the hidden hand of the economy knows how to boomerang the deal, how to jigger the deal. So that ain't going to be easy. But what is good is to remain steadfast in honoring our nation and our history and our culture and our tradition, and celebrating it, and celebrating when America breaks through and we innovate. Like the UFC, what you're seeing right there with that cage, that steel octagon in front of the White House on our 250th anniversary is a company. And again, I don't agree with everything Dana White and the UFC does, but I understand the cultural significance. You're looking at a company that has every incentive to remain neutral politically, and neutral is over on the left. And Dana White had the courage and the sacred honor to say, you know what? I'm going to honor my friendship with this individual, with this man, with President Donald J. Trump. I'm going to honor my individual friendship and rapport with him, regardless of the momentum of the public, of the mob. And you know what? There's nothing about the UFC that's equality of outcome, equity of outcome, egalitarian. There's nothing about the UFC that represents that. That's what you're looking at there. And you're looking at a company that also has innovated and stewarded an American company to be the flagship and tip of the spear of changing the entire sports landscape worldwide, one of the fastest growing sports in the entire world. And nobody would be able to claim, nobody in their right mind would make the claim that the UFC is not responsible for the rapid rise of mixed martial arts worldwide. And what a great thing for young men to aspire to. And I know you guys see the blood and the violence during these, you know, 20, 25 minute, 15 minute fights. But the discipline, the repetition, the grit, the toughness, the focus that went into these people even being able to be here is something young men and all people need more of. But let these globalists tell you, hey, we're going to give you universal basic income and some combination of drugs and video games. Let me tell you this, and it's cautionary tale. See, because there's also a subtle yet serious danger that's even there right now at the White House is, what are we going to do about AI? Because in the future, AI is going to be so good, you could fight two guys and you won't need actual fighters. You won't need actual martial artists. They will have supplemented the entire thing out of our human society, and that will be a problem. That will be dangerous. And we better fight that with everything we have. And we need people, warriors, like are going to tee off tonight. warriors like that and the spirit of warriors like that to fight the propensity toward artificial intelligence and what they call transhumanism. We're going to have to fight that. But for tonight, we get to celebrate that an American company is changing the landscape of sports worldwide. And these liberals don't like anything that we do. Nothing. Now, President Trump, he kills the trade deficit. We seal up the border that they intentionally left open. You know, the crime's down in multiple cities. Hell, there in D.C., you couldn't even have an event that brought people from all across the country because people getting carjacked and shot and stabbed all every day. Everybody who lived in the DMV or D.C. knows it. All my black friends that I know that came up in D.C. or are from D.C., D.C. was a hellhole. I mean, that entire DMV area, D.C., Baltimore, the whole thing, dangerous, seriously dangerous. Cleans up the crime, no credit, no thanks, no appreciation, no sign that if we give the government back to them, those things will stay in place and remain a priority. And least of all, this, you know, it's like you guys don't like Dana White because he stuck by President Trump. Let's be honest. Same reason you don't like Joe Rogan because he took ivermectin. Joe, I'm looking to get on the show if you're out there listening. James Tellerico is a fruitcake evangelical Satanist, which is horrifying. The last thing this country needs. If Texas votes in James Tellerico, audit the machines, okay? Audit them. Number one, audit them. But you know what? I don't even say that because, again, I can't even believe that as many people voted for John Cornyn did vote for John Cornyn. That's a canary in the coal mine already. The fact that so many people even voted for John Cornyn scares me to death. But then again, our elections aren't secure, so I don't know who really voted for him and who didn't. Anyway, if Texas votes in James, if we lose, we've already lost New York City to a transgender jihad, Marxist and Mom Donnie. If we lose Texas to an evangelical Satanist, I mean, guys, just pack it up. Pack it up. What do you want from me in Minnesota? I mean, what do you want from me? If New York, if the great city of New York is going to give their the world's financial capital to a Marxist jihad transgender advocate and then an evangelical Satanist down in the Lone Star State, what do you want from us in Minnesota? Do I got to lead the whole country? Do I got to lead the whole thing? Come on, guys. What's going on? Anyway, we'll see. James Tellerico, evangelical fruitcake Satanist, using the cloth of Christ and the gospel to push demonic norms, demonic abortion, demonic cutting a boy's penis off, demonic letting in 20 million foreign invaders with no means or mechanism of control, demonic. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast. We're talking UFC 250 on our 250th anniversary. That and much more. Stay tuned.
I don't sell crap. Bovine colostrum. Then I'll get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigly, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you that are, if you're a VIP, you get surveys. And, once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting or what are you liking best or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us. And it came back. Bovine colostrum was in the top two or three every time. And so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket scientist to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. And you can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I'm, So we got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, and now I'm taking it because I don't know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk of 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges the immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I know it's great. I know that going back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, they had a sickly kid or a preemie. They would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It's like always in all the literature, like medical doctors like that. Oh my God, donkey. donkey colostrum is like, whoa, like that, donkey. And then horse is good, goats are good, but it's always donkey's the best. It says, you know, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a jenny. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, you know, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys, so you're gonna have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're gonna private label it from, and I'm like, eh, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff, and a couple days later I go to have dinner at my parents, and I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. You know, women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it's in a back problem that I've had since Alex was born. Is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us, she orders it from us, but that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take, you know, months for you to see it with the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hit the one. Hit the two. Welcome back to the Royce White Show. No, this is the Alex Jones Show. Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Sorry, the Royce White Show is on Saturdays, Real America's Voice. Shout out to the Alex Jones Network, the great Alex Jones, who was right yet again, vindicated. Vindicated, I thought, a few weeks back when President Trump had to have some very choice words with Bibi Netanyahu about his venture there in Lebanon, in the Middle East. And all of us here on the Just Right, they called us the woke right. It would appear we're just right. More and more we see we're just right. We're not the extreme right. We're not far right. We're not alt right. We're just right. You know, they got to be. We can't trust these guys. Apropos, we're talking about this UFC 250 freedom fight at the White House, and the liberals are losing their minds. Oh, you know, this isn't the right time or place. This isn't a good event. You know, this is disgraceful. Shut your mouth. You know what's a disgrace? Letting in 20 million foreign invaders. That's a damn disgrace. Full stop. We're not moving past it. This didn't even, it ain't even on the Richter scale, okay? This is a drop in the ocean compared to the disgrace that the Democrats have done to this country with their uniparty collaborators for the last, I don't know, 60 years at least, if not further back than that. Don't tell us about this UFC fight being the sine qua non of Republicans disgracing the country. No, you let in 20 million foreign invaders. And you didn't even bat an eyelid. You let in 20 million foreign invaders. You're a disgrace. That's a disgrace. An African immigrant, a migrant there in Europe, in Belfast, trying to behead a man on the street. That's a disgrace. That's a disgrace. What happened to Henry Novak, that's a disgrace. And even this, just say it, this Carmelo Anthony deal, stabbing a kid in the chest, disgraceful, a lack of temperance. If the young man had come up in a martial way with a martial culture, first of all, he would have felt comfortable fighting versus needing a knife or a gun. But it's a lot of young black men all across America. I keep saying young black men would do very well to have more mixed martial arts training, whether it be boxing, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, karate, Muay Thai, MMA, whatever it would be. We would do well to infuse that in the black culture, young black men, because it teaches you temperance. Doesn't mean you don't have the capacity to do violence. Of course you do. But, there are some ground rules, only when it's absolutely necessary. And this case with Carmelo Anthony and Austin Metcalf, it certainly wasn't absolutely necessary. Harsh penalty for a young man. Everybody's tough until those sentences come down. Then people's mamas and aunties and uncles want to cry. Oh, you're a gangster, for instance. Sometimes you get 35 years in prison. Sometimes you get shot in the head. It happens. People get shot and killed every day, especially in the neighborhood. I grew up there. It happens. But one thing you know for sure, if you play tough, you better be able to take tough consequences. The martial culture teaches people to be more temperate in their choices and their decisions and their propensity to violence, because violence has consequences. And when you train violence, you intimately understand the very real consequences of violence. Partly why I said that our Senate and our Congress have such trouble with rightly ordering their view of the world and reality, because they have no real intimate understanding or knowledge of the consequences of violence. It's all academic and esoteric for them. It's abstract. It's easy to hit a button. It's easy to send young men to do war, and then all of a sudden we're going to send young men to hit buttons, to send drones to do war and kill people. It's easy to do that. You don't feel any of the effects. You don't have that immediate, that visceral familiarity with violence and the consequences of what it feels like to get your head. Some of these people in the U.S., they've never got punched in the mouth. They've never took a punch behind the ear and the equilibrium immediately goes crazy. Some of these people have actually lived sedentary lifestyles where most of their philosophy about life comes from a book, or let's say a professor who very poorly interprets a book. And you know what? With all due respect, the same could be said for our Christian culture. It's funny the correlation between the two. Even immediately as I was sitting there saying the way an honest mind works is I start to think about my own side of the aisle or my own community. And I go, hell, there's a lot of that to be said for the Christian community as well. We're learning most of what we do and it's not that there's a problem with the book. Mostly it's that the people who interpret the book for us have their own agenda. That's part of the thing. Hence Christian Zionism. But, we'll save that for another day. We're celebrating the country today. The interpretation of the Catholic Church too. Don't get me wrong. You guys know from the very first day I'm on a Catholic and Protestant schism. I get it. There's a little bit to be said for both, but the bottom line is this Christian Zionist thing is out of control, and the Catholic Church did an egregious and just almost irreparable damage with the pedophile, scandal that took place throughout the church, throughout the world. So, we're trying to claw our way back from that disgrace as well. But, they have their own religion. They have their own priests. The Noam Chomskys of the world, right? I mean, they have their own ideological worldview, and it's religious in nature. The thing that's odd to me is it's diametrically opposed to all their vices. Is there anything equal about sex? Is there anything equal about looks, about how people look? Is there anything equal about the sound of one's voice? Is there anything equal about the circumstance which people are born into, the talent that they've been given? Is there anything equal about the greatest, artists, whether they be painters or sketch artists or tattoo artists? Is there anything equal about the greatest artists in the world and the ones who are further down the, you know, down the rung? No, this whole idea of equality, was there anything equal about Abraham or Noah or David? I mean, you know, Moses or David or Christ? Was there anything equal about the distribution of favor and divine calling? No. So this entire equality idea is out of control. And we have to deal with that first because it's the predominant philosophy over on their side. That is their religion. They have a communist, globalist, secular, egalitarian philosophy. It's incompatible with logic. It's incompatible with human biology. It's incompatible with our love and fanaticism of sports. It's incompatible. Enjoy the fight tonight. But when you enjoy the fight, this great 250 UFC event, Freedom Event at the White House, when you enjoy the fight, recognize there's nothing about the equal distribution of talent, skill, or work ethic that went into what you're watching. Even from Dana White's perspective, even for him, for as a guy who built the company, ain't nothing equal about that. I couldn't imagine the things he had to go through to build that company. None of us could. One guy having to deal with all these type A alpha male killers, fighters like John Jones and Conor McGregor and, you know, George St. Pierre, you know, all these great, you know, icons of the mixed martial arts and fight game, you know, throughout the company's history. You can imagine what it's like having to deal with those guys in business, deal with those guys in real life on a day-to-day basis. And there's a lot of them. Look at Alex Pereira, another one, fast shooting up the charts in all on the all-time list. Scary dude. Got his own worldview, got his own culture, his own tradition. Scary dude. Would I fight him if I had to? You don't want to. You want to test yourself, but, you know, if you could pick, you know, that's a tough day at the office. Cyril Gaines about to find out tonight. That boy hits hard. And I think on the opposite side of things, Alex Pereira is going to find out that Cyril Gaines is a difficult target to pin down. Point being, you couldn't even enjoy the things that you actually enjoy if you lived by the leftist doctrine. Life would be bland. It would lack color. It would lack charisma. It would lack cool. It would, you know, look at that. Look at what you're looking at there. Look at the, you got a steel octagon outside in a festival style in front of our nation's capital, in front of the White House. I mean, it's, you know, it's historic. It's cool. The left just wants to kill the cool in our culture. Great personalities, guys who can take a punch and give a punch. Guys who have the audacity to build things like Elon Musk. As much as I disagree with his transhumanism, he's the first trillionaire in American history, in the world, first trillionaire, you know, that we've had in known history. And they just want to rain on our parade. Then they act like we're the negative ones. I'm not a negative guy. I can tell you where the cracks and crevices are. I can tell you where the corruption is hidden easy because it's not hard to see. Like when a Cory Booker marches a 250-pound man dressed like a space demon into my kid's kindergarten. Easy to call the balls and strikes on that one, guys. But, you know, it's, hey, President Trump, the reason why he came on like wildfire is because he's got a fun personality. He can joke a little bit. He doesn't take himself too serious. He can take a joke. He can give a joke. I told Stephen A. Smith over last week, he said, you know, him and Stephen A. had a clash of comments in the public. And I told Stephen A., hey, you should be flattered. You've been looking for it. You've been asking for it. You've been calling his name, saying this stuff. And he's the type of guy that's going to give it back. And so what? Okay. Don't get all bent out of shape. And even if you do, the thing you learn about fighting is we could have a knockdown, drag out fight. But we respect the fundamental principle of being a warrior in the warrior code. See, the problem when you make culture too esoteric, too abstract, too academic in nature, you lose that warrior code, and then you can't really come back to a common ground because one side of the thing gets so far out in the left field, which has happened in this country, we can no longer shake hands at the end of this. If you believe in letting 20 million foreign invaders into our country, I can't shake hands with you. Bottom line, if you condone letting 20 million foreign invaders into our country so that ours starts to look like Belfast or Great Britain or Italy or wherever else in Europe, if you condone that kind of thing, if you want that, I can't shake hands with you at the end of a great debate. Spit at your feet. You're a communist. You're a traitor. You're a subversive. Back when they used to argue about the tax rate, which is why you saw Reagan and I think it was Reagan and Mondale during their debate, you know, they could throw a, you know, light jabs at each other, and at the end they shake hands and go, all right, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is America. This America is at a pivotal moment. And I hats off to the president. It's his 80th birthday today, and this event is to commemorate the nation and our 250th anniversary, but also celebrate that he's 80 years old and he's an American hero. He deserves our respect. He deserves our respect because he stood up when he could have stayed quiet. He stood up when it was, when everything would have been much easier for him to stay quiet. And if we don't hold that up as an ethic, as something that we revere, then I think we're just all just, you know, when push comes to shove, we're a bunch of whiny little punks. Still disagree with them. You know, there's no certain circumstances where I would say a war in Iran is more important than securing our elections or deporting 20 million foreign invaders or arresting people from the deep state. I'll never concede that. But I'm also not going to say President Trump is a lost cause and he's the worst person president in the history. And come on, stop it. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get James Tallarico. And when you get a James Tallarico in the White House, and that's coming, as sure as the sun will rise, as sure as the turning of the earth, that day is coming where you get a Mom Donnie Tallarico presidential ticket and those two take the White House, you're going to see just how violent these egalitarians can really get. You're going to see just how violent the left really is. I see it. I feel it. I feel the propensity of twisted, sadistic, sinister, latent violence, psychotic violence. Because there's nothing more violent than taking a scalpel to a little boy's penis. In principle. Oh, well, at least I'm not a bigot. Yeah, sure. I don't even really recognize the word bigot because it's been so watered down. But what I do recognize is the word demonic. And you go to take a scalpel to a little boy's penis and castrate a young child in the name of gender fluidity, that's violent. that's very violent. So violent, in fact, when you think about it as a man, you clench. You go, it's like taking a kick to the cup right here. You'll see, you know, over the course of the evening, you'll see somebody get kicked in the cup and you right away, he's going, breath. This great moment where I forgot his name now, because that's what happens in the Eternal House of History. You lose, people forget your name. Champions, they live forever. Alex Pereira, but he got kicked in the groin by his opponent, and the ref, Herb Dean, came in like he was going to stop the fight. And Alex Pereira in real time, just, you know, mid kick to the groin, he stops him and he goes, I'm all right. And he brushes himself off and he gets back in his, and left hook, boom, knockout. I mean, just, you're watching a badass, dangerous man tonight in Alex Pereira. Anyway, I'm doing my best to blend the event tonight and the politics, because I do think there's an actual, correlation between the lack of toughness, the liberals' outcry that this event is somehow a disgrace to the nation, and the diametrical opposition between our sports culture and our sports, which we love so much that between an NBA Finals, a World Cup, and now this UFC fight, you're going to have all eyes fixed on professional sports. But we hate the unequal distribution of talent or skill. Merit. We hate merit in this country now. And maybe more than anything, I think the reason the president has such an affinity, I can't speak for him, but, you know, I speak for myself. The reason I have such an affinity for mixed martial arts or combat sports is because it's the ultimate ultimate arena of merit, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, you and another person, who will prevail? Even team sports, you can kind of displace, you know, the responsibility onto some of your teammates. When you're in that octagon and that cage closes behind you, it's just you and him. And your weaknesses, mentally, physically, strategically, skill-wise, they all come to the surface. It's the ultimate test of human will, grit. Just sometimes it just comes down to grit and toughness. You're going to see a fighter in Gaethje tonight that's a tough SOB. And Ilya, he's a badass. I mean, he's tough as nails himself in the prime of his career. Justin Gaethje on the back end. But in mixed martial arts, it's funny how you still see guys that can compete at a high level, even though they're, you know, significant age gap in mixed martial arts, more so than in the NBA. In the NBA, you get I can't even say that, because hell, LeBron James is putting up the same numbers now as he was in his prime. Sports is interesting that way. That happens few and far between, though, in the NBA. Mixed martial arts more often, right? That John Jones is going to just pick apart a young fighter. Because in fighting, the more you learn and the more you can still move around, the better you get. You just get more lethal. You get more, unless the fight kind of drags on, then fatigue and age set in. So that all of that stuff is fun. But Justin Gaethje's still, you know, got some fight left in him. And we're going to see tonight, can he pull off one of the biggest upsets in sports? One of the young up-and-coming superstars of mixed martial arts, Ilya Topuria, versus American badass, sort of your tough man, Justin Gaethje. Also fighting on the card, I forgot to mention, was Sean O'Malley. Very entertaining fighter. Do I agree with his policy? I don't know. Any guy who dyes his hair rainbow color, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about you, man. But badass fighter, though. I'm telling you, Sugar Shane O'Malley, very, very talented. And he's going up against a huge test tonight himself. So I don't have any predictions. I will say I think that the Cyril Gane and Alex Pereira fight is going to be much more interesting than people think. And with Justin Gaethje, you just never know, because he's got knockout power. I probably, and I hate to say this because I know Justin Gaethje personally, you know, I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to put that out there. I hope Justin Gaethje wins. It'll be a huge win for America, for the red, white, and blue, because Justin Gaethje is, a country-loving patriot. But he's got a huge test in front of him. Ilya Topuria is a young bull. But we'll see what happens. The great thing is that, again, we're commemorating this nation's 250th anniversary with something that has never happened. It's happening for the first time. And shout out to Dana White and the UFC and Joe Rogan. It's epic cage side commentary moments. And, you know, they've built the UFC into something that's quite incredible. Quite incredible. Literally changing the landscape of sports worldwide. And what's most, everybody can't play basketball. You can, but there are some physical limitations. You get a Jalen Brunson every once in a while. But for the most part, if you're under 6'3", 6'4", you're going to have trouble making it to the highest level. Everybody can't be an NFL football player, right? The gateway to entry physically for mixed martial arts is much, much lower. Now, you got to work twice as hard because there's such a bigger pool of people, population-wise, across the world that want to do that thing. But it can be done. You know, I mean, there must be, at least a billion men walking around that are, I don't know, what, 5'8", 145, 155 pounds, walking around at 170. I mean, it's attainable, right? And for young men to have their goals and ambitions aimed at a pursuit or endeavor like that is I think something that we need in this country and all around the world. Gives them something. And here's the thing about it that's even more significant. You can train it on your own. You don't need a team. You don't need equipment. You don't need some expert coach. Those things help, but you can literally train to be a martial artist all on your own. And that's a significant barrier. Like hockey, expensive as hell. Man, hockey's expensive to put your kid in. Volleyball's getting expensive. I don't know why volleyball is so expensive. Those damn pads, knee pads can't cost that much. I don't know why volleyball is so expensive. I think they're just inflating the price, but that's me. But you know, some of these youth sports are really expensive to put your kid in. You know, boxing, you know, karate, martial arts. Yeah, a kid can train on their own. Now, every athlete needs a good teacher, a good coach, right? Daniel Sun and Mr. Miyagi. And the better coach and trainer or sensei you have, probably the better you'll be. But it can be done. And even getting involved in martial arts at a local level, going to a local boxing gym is usually much cheaper than a high-level summer AAU basketball team like mine, you know? So that's another thing. But again, what it really does is it tempers young men's capacity for violence. It doesn't eliminate it. It tempers it. It rightly orders it. It cultivates it. And we need, especially in the West, especially here in America, we would do well to have young men who have the capacity for violence in the wake of demonic forces, powers and principalities that seek to pin us down and behead us in the streets. It's my take on things. Anyway, it's been another Sunday Night Live. I appreciate the Alex Jones Network, everybody there in the studio. We went off script today because I'm just so pumped about this fight tonight. You got to see a genuine sports fan. I did my best to mix it into the issues of today, but I'm pumped about tonight. I can't wait to go home and see it, you know, Godspeed to all the men that are getting in the octagon. They all deserve our respect. It takes a huge amount of courage, more courage than it takes to tuck your penis and pretend to be a woman. Okay. Huge respect and hats off to the fighters and warriors there in DC at our nation's capital tonight. Godspeed to all you all across the country. God bless you. We'll be live again tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central, the White House, Free People Radio across all social media channels. Appreciate your viewership and listenership again tonight and in the future. We'll see you next Sunday for the Alex Jones Network audience. And thank you to the great Alex Jones, another American hero. God bless you all. God bless America. 250 years, UFC, now.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?